Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struck him out with 100. His first out, his first strikeout in the big leagues, 100 miles an hour. 1-2 pitch from Bubba Chandler. The 1-2 pitch from Bubba Chandler. He got him 100! Oh, yeah! What a start!
Yeah, that was awesome. It was awesome. It was the most enjoyable game of the year, in my not-so-humble opinion. And before I dive in deeper, I want to tell you that Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount+. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS. And Paramount+, watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount+, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. That was fun to watch, and that was different, and that was a desperately needed injection of life, of intensity, almost like a young A.J. Burnett when he came screaming off the mound, Bubba Chandler. I forget who it was. He struck out. Maybe it was, who was it? Was it Ritter? And then who? With 100-mile-an-hour heat, and he said a very, very clear swear word and just yelled it. Yeah, blank, blank. You saw it, Limits, didn't you?
Of course.
I already love this guy. You do too. You were chanting his name in the crowd, the loyal season ticket holders, who some people call you the suckers, that you're the ones who are part of the problem, whereas you're the most loyal fans out there, doing what you want to do with your money while other people are telling you how to spend it. And I commend you for that, and I'm glad that you had an enjoyable night. And anybody out there who's dumb enough to think that ticket sales really make a huge difference for the Pirates and Bob Nutting's bottom line, they're already among the lowest in the league in attendance, and all their welfare money comes from things like luxury tax and revenue sharing. Okay? So, while it's fun and you sound real tough by calling them suckers and, you know, they're part of the problem because you get to tell people how to spend their money, you're wrong, first of all, and I commend them. And they deserve a night like that. And it was awesome. And it also gave us a glimpse of what could be. What could be. People think the Pirates are a million miles away. If your staff is going to start with Paul Skeens and Bubba Chandler, you're not a million miles away. You're just not. Not to mention, I think Ashcraft can be a very good pitcher. He's got an electric arm. I think Oviedo could be an option. Hunter Barco is knocking at the door. Mitch Keller, they should have traded, which will get us to our problem we have to overcome in a minute. This is going to be a good staff next year. It's a good staff this year, for God's sakes. They lead Major League Baseball in shutouts. They lead the league in shutouts. They don't need to be the 79 Pirates on offense. They need to be somewhat competent to at least be in the wild card picture. They're basically a 500 team. They were last year till the Shelty implosion in August. They have been this year under Don Kelly. I think they're 2 or 3 games under right now. That's basically what they are. So if we're talking how far away are they from wild card, they're right there. They need a couple hitters. So close, yet so far, right? But the idea, and it's been posited by some, that it's time for another rebuild is insane. They're going to have this dude. And by the way, when he struck out, I think it was in his first at-bat, the last two hitters on 99.9 and 100.4, Those were the two fastest pitches for strikeouts this year by any Pirate. Alex Stumpf had that. Two fastest pitches for strikeouts this year by a Pirate. I think there's a guy named Skeens in that rotation as well. And when you combine what happened Saturday with what happened Sunday, and you don't at least look to the very near future and think this is possible, then I don't know what you're looking at. If you start a staff with those two guys, you have a chance. Now, the problem is the GM, and I'll get to that in a minute. First, back to Chandler. He should have been up here earlier, and he should be starting. He should be starting. I read a piece the other day, and I think he was bored. I think he was just bored in the minors, and probably it's a different game there. That's the piece I'm alluding to here, where it's a higher strike zone. I think I read this on The Athletic. Chandler struggled locating his fastball this year in the minors, which led to a higher walk rate, but there's some chance that the big leagues will be more forgiving. The major league strike zone, perhaps because of catcher pitch framing crap, can offer more called strikes up high. This is another guy they have in the tradition of Glasnow and Cole, who just needs to let the fastball play high in the zone, and he's going to get those calls more often in the majors than the minors. I'm convinced, based on this guy's personality, what I saw, that he was beaten down and bored in the minors. Man, was that fun to watch a guy walk in here like a young A.J. Burnett and say, blank everybody, hit this. I love that. It reminded me of Jared Jones last year. Now, he leveled off a bit and then got hurt, but he's still maybe part of this equation moving forward as well. And I'm sorry, but with a rotation like this, that starts like this and could be very deep, and I think they're going to have a good bullpen for the most part they did this year, you have a chance to win, and you're not that far away. Period. There's really not another opinion there. When you have a pitching staff potentially like this, with Skeens and Chandler at the top, you're not that far away. Period. Period. They lead the major leagues in shutouts this year. Skeens, when he merely gets three runs, is 16-0 in his career. So to me, the question then becomes, how do you at least get from being around 500, which is what this ball club is right now, what it's been under Don Kelly? How do you get from there 7 or 8 games better, 10 games better? How do you get there? Where do you find the hitting? What are you going to do to get there? The notion of anybody who says at this point that they need to tear it up and rebuild is out of their minds. I'm not even acknowledging that possibility. We're in year 6 of a tank job, for God's sakes. So forget that. You've got teams in the wild card race right now. The Reds are a game and a half out at 68-63. So I frame the question like this. How do you get from around 500 to 5 to 10 games over? You can't replace everybody. You're constrained, obviously, by ownership spending, obviously, right? Step one is Ben Cherington needs to go. They need to bring in somebody, a Jim Rutherford type, a wheeler and dealer who can get them 5 to 10 games better from a 500 team. Cherington, I have no faith in, can do that. You're not going to have giant free agent money to spend, although you could go out and buy one hitter. One. Not a hugely expensive one, a competent one. And like I said, you're just not going to be able to replace everybody. You're going to have to count on some things, and this is my solution for the Pirates. And I think it's going to be unbelievably fun to watch, with these two guys at the top of your rotation. And man, if Jared Jones...
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Was here. How fun would that be, Limits?
I mean, because you got three guys that are bona fide ones or twos in your rotation.
That's the hope. It looked like Jones was that guy early last year, and he had that sort of in-your-face attitude like this guy has too. But then he leveled out. He didn't have really the diversity and the command of his pitches and nobody does with Skeens, but the part that's unreal about Skeens is as soon as he realized, oh, wow, these guys can smash my 100-mile-an-hour stuff, I can go to six other pitches and pitch like a 35-year-old vet. Very few people have that, but you got to have some of that in you. You're not going to stand up there like Jones tried to do and just blow everybody away, and I hope that's not the case with Chandler, but he seems to have some pretty wicked breaking stuff as well. A slider, for example, that looks to be an A pitch. Here's what needs to happen. Fire the general manager. I think that's an obvious call. And if that doesn't happen, then I'm worried automatically because I don't trust Ben Cherington to go out and find or develop the offensive help they need. And then around the diamond, please understand you're going to have to live with some of these positions because you simply can't replace everybody. So let's start with the outfield. Brian Reynolds is going to be your right fielder. And you're going to have to live with it. And you're going to have to assume he comes back to being a good offensive player. He's had pretty much a whole career of that. You throw out his best year, the outlier year, and you throw out this year, and you've got a pretty good offensive player. I think that's reasonable to expect. Your center fielder is obviously going to be Cruz, and he needs to take at least a step. I don't know if he's ever going to be this MVP candidate, freak numbers guy that we expect, but he's got to take a step. Left field, you need a player. And whether that can come via trading a Mitch Keller, who they should have traded, as people like me were saying at the deadline when he was at the absolute height of his marketability that he was ever going to be, but they kept him. Got to trade him this offseason, maybe, or sign somebody. And I'm not saying you have to go out and sign, you know, a Juan Soto play-alike. Somebody you can hit and play. I mean, they're out there for reasonable prices. Then you go around the diamond. You're going to have to live with Horwitz at first base. Okay, he's got a barely above 700 OPS. It's okay, and he's a good defensive player. He's an average, I think he can be an average first baseman. You're going to have to live with the same with Gonzalez at second. Those guys are going to be at those positions, I believe. Gonzalez is hitting right around 280. He's not a good defensive player, and therefore his overall rating, which comes via WAR, is not good. It's not good. He's a below average second baseman right now. Hopefully he can be average and provide a little bit more power. You're going to have to live with those two guys. Shortstop. It's become quite apparent it's going to be Triolo until Connor Griffin is ready. And Connor Griffin has a chance to be their best offensive prospect since who? McCutcheon? Right, Limits?
I'd say so, yeah. Him and Pedro.
Yeah, so you're gonna have to go with Triolo and hope there's a little bit more of August than there is the rest of his career, basically. And he's a great defensive player. He made a great double play for Chandler the other night, sort of an off-balance throw real quick on a slow bouncer up the middle. You're going to have to live with that. Third base, you need a player. Left field, third base, and DH. Those are your holes. And you're not going to spend tens of millions because Bob Nutting's the owner. That's not going to happen. You need somebody who can parlay Keller and maybe one of your young guys. It would be terrible, I know, for some to get rid of a Hunter Barco or somebody like that, or an Ashcraft, but it's possible. You need bats. and they can certainly sign one offensive contributor. Those are the holes that I would fill. Left field, third base, and DH. And it's time to say goodbye to Kutch. It just is. I love him as much as anybody else, but it's time. You need a highly productive power-hitting DH by any means necessary. And then at catcher, you're going to have to live with it. You got the kid they got in the Yankees trade, along with Hank Davis and Andy Rodriguez, some combination therein. I don't know about what Joey Bart's future holds. You're going to have to live with it, right? So you're going to have to bring in a couple of impact hitters at those positions, hope Reynolds bounces back, and live with some of these other guys. And you're going to have an unbelievable top of your rotation, and I think a pretty good and deep rotation. I liked Oviedo's last outing. I think he can be good. If you keep Barco, I think he could break this rotation. Ashcraft, absolutely. And then if you're still stuck with Keller, man, I would trade Keller and use that money to go get a hitter. Boy, would I. Even if you're not getting much back, you're theoretically freeing up money. Come on. Nobody's saying spend $150 million, but go get a hitter or two. It's possible, I think. And I think their near future can be bright. I do. Maybe you don't. At 412-928-9370. And if they keep the GM, I probably agree with you. I probably agree with you because he's shown really almost zero adeptness at finding, developing offensive talent. But that's the way I honestly feel. And man, I don't know how you couldn't look at the Saturday and Sunday games of this series. I don't care who they were playing. And not at least think ahead. Wasn't everybody doing that to next season? And man, it just underscores how sickening really last offseason was. The lack of money spent and who it was spent on was actually sickening if you're a Pirate fan. But the truth of the matter is they're not light years away from at least wild card contention. They're not. They're going to have a rotation that kicks off next season with Paul Skeens and Bubba Chandler. You saw that dude the other night. And by the way, you know, you'll get the cynics among us and the people who have been probably doing things like this way too long, telling you how unimportant it is that Bubba Chandler has that kind of personality he has. And in some ways, you know, does it directly translate to, transforming a franchise? I don't know, but I know this, it matters to fans. And if it matters to fans, it's important, especially when you're not drawing people to the ballpark. And I saw fans the other night chanting Bubba after the game. And I saw that dude's attitude. And if you're a fan, and by the way, I don't blame you if you've been completely deadened forever by the Pirates' incompetence. But if you're a fan who still has something of a pulse and you weren't fired up watching that, him come off the mound like that, and even his post-game interviews, and the live arm that it's a howitzer. Henry Davis says that's the best fastball he's seen. He Skeens his personal catcher. So if you're not fired up watching him and Skeens together on back-to-back days, then I don't know what you're looking at. You should be. Yes, you may be getting fired up just to have your soul crushed again. I realize that. But I couldn't look at those two games back to back and not think ahead to the future. I'm sorry, I couldn't. And the first step is firing this GM. And then anything is doable. Then anything is doable. And the notion that I heard talked about by a couple different people on the air, I think even this weekend, that you're going to have trouble attracting a GM to Pittsburgh. Are you out of your mind? There's 30 of these jobs on the whole planet. You get to come to one with Skeens and Chandler to start your rotation? You kidding me? You'll find candidates who want to finish this job, meaning at least get the Pirates to contention for something important. And I don't think they're that far away. So go ahead and call me crazy. 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Limits?
All right, let's go to John. He's in Beaver. Wants to chime in.
Hey, John.
Yes, how you doing? I agree with you with everything position except one position, and that's second base. Nick York is hitting close to 280. Why is he not up here?
Well, that's a good question.
Tamar Johnson is in Double-A hitting 270. He should be a Triple-A by this year. It could possibly be up next year. So that's your second base right there.
I mean, yeah, let me jump in because I don't know about Tamar Johnson. Did he get hurt recently, Limits? Who was their one prospect who got injured last week? Somebody did.
That was him, but he came back in the lineup, I believe. I think he's back.
Okay. Well, the problem, even though he's back, is that, yeah, he is. He's hitting 270 with 9 home runs. You're right. He should be. Yeah. He should be promoted to Triple A. I think they still view him, and he's got a 744 OPS. Let's be honest. He hasn't torn up the minor leagues, and he's still not doing that. But at any point, he's also not flaming out. At any point, I feel like he could take a major leap. The kid's he just turned 21 in June. But I don't know if he's going to be here next year. You know what I mean? I think Nick Gonzalez is going to be your second baseman. But you're right, Nick York should be playing.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.